Let's all say amen.
Amen.
I didn't say it this morning, but Brother Smith, I want to thank you for leading us this morning in those hymns, and even for those brothers that participated in our worship to the Lord on this morning, as well as for this afternoon. Amen. I want you to look briefly, I think it's good to just look at, we have the visible church, and just look at foundationally the church in prophecy, when Christ talked about it, and then the church today and what our function is as the church, and then the message will be yours on this evening. There's one that is not a member of this visible church. It's the only one that you can read about in the Bible. It's singular in nature, but it has members that have obeyed the Lord, and we hope that if you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, you'll desire to become a Christian. At the end of the message, I'll share those things that God has stated in his word, that one become a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
In Colossians chapter 1, the verse that was led in your read in your hearing, you'll find the word visible and the church itself found in the text, where I'm going to start at verse number 12, Brother Oz, and he said, giving thanks first unto the Father,
which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
So first, Paul, in his writing to the Colossian church, as he began writing unto them, he lets it known that we ought to give thanks unto the Father, who has made us, the word meet means fit, to be partakers of an inheritance with the saints that are in the light. Read.
Who had delivered us from the power of darkness,
uh-huh,
and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
So Paul said, not only that, we need to remember that God has delivered us from sin. God has delivered us from Satan's grasp. And what he did was, Paul said, remember, he has translated us, or he has changed us into the kingdom of his dear son. So in Paul's writing, he referred to it as the kingdom of his dear son. So we're talking about the son being Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption.
Through his blood.
Yeah.
Even the forgiveness of sins.
It was Christ's blood that was shed on the cross that when we render obedience to the gospel message, Paul says to them that we have redemption through his blood, even having sins forgiven. Who is?
The image of the invisible God.
Yeah.
The firstborn of every creature.
So he lets us know that God is invisible. But Christ was the image of that invisible God, and he is the firstborn of every creature. For by him
were all things created.
Read.
That are in heaven.
That's in heaven.
That are in earth.
Visible.
And invisible,
whether there be
thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Thank you. So we see from the text, the Bible talks about that there's a visible and there's an invisible. He says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And then he said, he is the head
of the body.
The what?
The church.
Who is the beginning?
The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
So we see in the text, Paul talked to them about a church that is visible. He talked about God is invisible, but the church is visible. And so for the next few moments, I want to just share for some of the Bible students who may not be familiar with those things, those that are in our first principal class, go to Isaiah chapter 2 first, Brother Oz, and see that the church was talked about in prophecy. Isaiah, I mean, we talked about there being major prophets and there being minor prophets, but they were referred to those simply because of the length of the book. But in Isaiah, one of the first major prophets, in Acts chapter 2, Brother Oz, what does the Bible say? Isaiah, thank you. Isaiah chapter 2, and the verse is number 1. Settle down, Brother Stroud. Settle down. Isaiah chapter 2, And the verse is number one. Read.
The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem.
So now, remember we talked about this morning about Judah and Jerusalem. So what the Bible says, that there was a word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw. Notice he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Read.
And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it.
He said many people
shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and he will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
See, there we go again. We said this morning, now notice what he said. He said that the Lord's house was going to be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above all the hills. He said, all nations will flow unto it, one singular. He said, and then many people will come and say, come, ye, let us go up to the house, up to the mountain of the Lord's house, to the house of the God that is the God of Jacob. And notice what the house is supposed to do. It's supposed to teach us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the church is designed to teach us of his ways. And he said that we will walk in his path. Notice he said, for out of Zion, we said this morning, out of Zion shall go forth the law, and then the word of the Lord will come from Jerusalem. So we find that God established. We talked again this morning about, can I just go back to Zion, go back to where God started things? He said that they would go forth the law from Zion, and then the word of the Lord will come from Jerusalem. Well, then Daniel picked it up in Daniel chapter 2, Brother Oles, in Daniel chapter 2 and 44. So Isaiah talked about a house was going to be built, and all nations, notice, all nations will flow unto it. Well, when Daniel picked up the baton in Daniel chapter 2, Brother Oles, and began at about verse number 44, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, the Bible says what?
And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people.
Yeah.
But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold,
the great God
had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure.
So God, through Daniel, we talked this morning about how Nebuchadnezzar become that first king. He told Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and no one could answer the dream. And what Daniel told him in Daniel 2:28, he said, but there is a God in heaven that reveal his secret and make it known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And so he shared with him. He told him, let me just tell you, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are that king. You're the first king that God had. And then he said there was going to become another king. That's in verse 38. And he said there will be another one arise. Verse 39, that's the Mede and Persian kingdom. When those Bible students go back, he said it's going to be inferior to these. Then there was going to be another kingdom. The third kingdom in verse 39 was the Grecian kingdom. Many of us may have heard of Alexander the Great. Well, Alexander the Great was that third kingdom. And that's why when you read the New Testament, when Alexander the Great took over, he made the world speak Greek. That's why the New Testament was written in Greek, because he was over all those kingdoms. And he said, the language you're going to speak is going to be Grecian. That's why the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek, because Alexander the Great was a Grecian and he was that third kingdom. But then God said that that wasn't going to be it. Then there was going to be a fourth kingdom. And that was the Roman kingdom. That's verse number 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh into pieces and subdue all things, As iron that breaketh all thee, shall it break it in pieces and be bruised. So when Christ came, Christ hit that fourth kingdom at the foot, and it broke up into pieces. And that's where he says in verse 42, and as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. So when Christ came, Christ was the one that knocked down that fourth kingdom. Rome was no longer the kingdom. God said in verse 44, you know what? In these days, while the Roman king was in existence, he said, God is going to set up a kingdom. He said, now this kingdom shall never be destroyed. You are a member of the Church of Christ. You're in that kingdom. This kingdom will never be destroyed. And notice what he said. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all kingdoms, and it shall stand how long? Forever. Yeah, so we are that kingdom. And then when Christ came along, Brother Owens, Matthew 16, we talk about the kingdom, talking about the church. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse number 13, Jesus was with his disciples. Verse 13, the Bible says when Jesus
came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
He was asked, but now, I know you guys are around. What does other people say about who I am? Who do they say I am? And they said, some say they are John the Baptist.
Some Elias.
Yeah.
And others Jeremiah's,
and
are one of the prophets.
Yeah, some people say you Elias coming back. Other people say you Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Then he said, some of them say you just one of the prophets. Then he turned to him, he said, but who say ye that I am? And Peter, as he was quick to speak, said,
thou
he answered and
Christ,
said, thou art the Christ,
the Son of the living God.
And Jesus answered and said unto him,
blessed art thou, Simon Barjona,
yeah,
for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
He said, blessed art thou, Simon. By the word Barjona means son of John. Barjona, he said, for now, you know what? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. He said, my heavenly Father have revealed it. And know what he says in verse 13, and I say unto thee,
that thou art Peter,
yeah,
and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it.
So we see from the word of God, Isaiah talked about the church being in prophecy. He called it the house of God that will be set up upon the mountain. When Daniel came along, Daniel talked about there was four kingdoms. That's why we can go to history and find the Bible, even in history, when we go read about history. And Daniel talked about that while the Roman Empire was in existence, that's when Christ was going to come on the scene. And Christ was going to tear down that fourth kingdom. Christ was going to establish a kingdom that would never will be in existence, would never be destroyed, and it shall last forever. And so when Jesus came on the scene, him talking to his disciples, he let them know that who do you all say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, you are right in saying that. He said, now guess what, Peter? He said, now you are Peter, and know upon this truth that I am the Christ. Now Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be prevailed against it. He said, I will give unto thee the keys
of the kingdom of heaven.
And whatsoever thou bind
on earth shall be bound in heaven.
And whatsoever
thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
So he gave Peter the keys, and he told Peter, whatever you allow, that's what I'm allowed. Whatever you don't, I'm not. And so Peter had the key, and Peter opened the door to the church. In Acts chapter 2, Peter opened the door and allowed those to be added to the church. And that's how we know we can be added. Go to Acts chapter 2, Brother Owes, as we walk through the church, so we can talk about the church now is visible. It was first talked about in prophecy. It became visible when Peter stood up and let them know in verse number 36. He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel. Acts 2:36, I'm sorry.
Therefore, that all the house of Israel know assuredly
yeah.
that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Is the Bible saying, now when they heard this,
they were pricked in their heart
uh-huh.
and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
And Peter said unto them, repent.
And be baptized,
yeah.
every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
See, Peter had the keys. And Peter was the one that opened the door for others to be added to the apostles. And Peter opened that door by letting them know the way that you get in, you have heard the gospel, Acts 2:22 to 24. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Watch this here. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So Peter, in the first gospel sermon, let them know that God had knowledge. Foreknowledge means God knew about it. They took Jesus, their hands were wicked, they crucified him, and they murdered Christ, the Bible says, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding to it. So that's the gospel indeed. So all of us, for anyone to become a Christian, to become a member of the visible church, you have to hear that gospel message, how God loved you enough that Jesus suffered on the cross. He was crucified and slain, but he didn't stay dead. They buried him in a tomb, but God raised him up. And then when Peter preached that sermon, evidently pricked their hearts. And that hopefully when we come on Sunday, the word of God is still able to prick our hearts. And we're able to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Once I hear the word of God, I take inventory on myself, see those things that I'm not lined up with, and I make the adjustment. But in this case, Peter said, they asked Peter, what shall we do? And Peter said, you've heard the gospel. It's obvious by the fact their hearts were pricked. They believed the gospel. So the next thing one must do, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he said that the promise
is unto you
yeah.
and to your children and yeah. to all that are far off,
yeah.
even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
And then he says something important in verse number 40. And with many other words,
did he testify and exhort,
what saying, did he say to them?
Save yourselves from the untoward generation.
Yeah, so he let them know it's the responsibility. That's the only time we are to be selfish when it comes to our salvation. The only time I can find in the scripture where the Bible commends being selfish, in the sense that Peter told them, save yourselves from this untoward, this perverted generation. All of us have a responsibility to save ourselves. How do we save ourselves? By following the teachings and the ways that Isaiah talked about that was in that house. This is why we come to the worship service, so we can learn more about the word of God. We can help ourselves in doing those things that God has commanded. And then, as I move to a halt, in Acts chapter 20, Brother Oz, want to make sure that we understand that the church became visible because blood was shed in Acts chapter 20, in verse number 28, when Paul had assembled with the elders from Miletus. He said what in Acts 28? Acts 20:28.
Take heed therefore unto yourselves
yeah.
and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers.
To feed
the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood.
So we see that this visible church now was a reality because the Bible said that Christ shed his blood. And with his blood, not only his blood was shed for our sin, but he also made a purchase with the blood. And the purchase was the church of God, the Bible said, which he purchased with his own blood. And then in Ephesians, the Ephesian letter, Brother Oz, as I hasten to a close, in Ephesians chapter 1, and the verse is number 22 and 23, the Bible talking about the church now, the Bible says what? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22.
And have put all things under his feet.
Yeah.
And gave him to be the head over all things to the church.
Which is?
His body.
The fullness
of him that filleth all in all.
So we find now that the church is the spiritual body of Christ. That's our function. We are the spiritual body. Christ said when he came on the scene in Luke's writing, he came to seek and save the lost. And so that becomes our mission statement, that we do the same thing. And Paul made that valid as I close in Ephesians chapter 3, Brother Oles, and verse number 9 through verse number 12. Ephesians 3, 9 through 12, as I come to a close.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery.
Yeah.
Which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God.
Uh-huh.
Who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
According to the eternal purpose.
Which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
In whom we have
boldness and access
with
confidence by the faith of him.
Yeah. So Paul in his writing to them, reminded them, he said, now it is our responsibility as many people as we come in contact with. Paul said it is universal. He said to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. And the mystery was found in Ephesians 2 and verse number 16. The Bible said that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. The mystery was how God was going to bring Jew and Gentile together. And so he says here that in the text, to the intent that, notice, now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. It is our responsibility as a church, that visible church, to make known the manifold wisdom of God. He says, according to, there was an eternal purpose of God, which God purposed, and he did it in Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. And he said, because of that, we speak with boldness, and we also have access to God with confidence, and that confidence is by the faith that we have in Jesus. And so this afternoon, I just wanted to share with us the visible church, how it was prophesied by Isaiah and Daniel. Jesus made the statement that he was going to build it. Jesus shed his blood to purchase it. And we find out that that body that we're talking about is only one. That body is the church, Ephesians 4:4, and that body is the one church. So we are members of that one church. And if there's someone today that is not a member, I share with you the gospel. Well, God requires that one hear the gospel. You believe the gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You believe that gospel, understanding that Christ suffered on the cross for your sins and my sins. You show obedience to the gospel by coming down, making a statement that's made in Acts 37. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You are then water baptized. The Lord adds you now to that visible church. It referred to in the scriptures in Romans 16:16. As the church of Christ, the Lord will add you to that. If there's anyone today that would like to respond to the invitation, we bid you to come. And together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.